Last time on Wanderlust.
Right as you are getting to where you would probably be wanting to stop to make camp in this sort of strange looking forest, it's clearly cold enough across this line that the ground has frozen and broken away as like a chunk of ice. And I will say basically your decision here is, how do you make camp in this kind of odd and unknown place? Having a hand that you don't have to worry about burning or stabbing, actually really nice.
Yes, that's an acquired taste. I would prefer to have feeling in my hands, personally.
Can Autumn go explore the crevice a little bit?
Yes, you can. Does it not help at all for me to be here trying to help you go with the flow?
No. No, it really doesn't. I don't like that you're here instead of back there with the people that I care about.
Yeah, doing useless stuff. I get that.
It's useless.
And as you say it's not useless, you just hear a howl. And then you hear a howl and look up and you just see 8 pairs of eyes coming down the hill towards you.
I think she books it out of there.
Have any of you guys seen Autumn?
Where is she?
Yeah, she went north alone, that thing I was asking you about. Mitchell, Estelle, and Fred tear off in the direction of that howling and in the direction that Autumn roughly went.
Are you the wolf that we're supposed to defeat?
I am the wolf. And I certainly hope you're not here to defeat me. I don't much like the idea of dying. You have to pick one or the other. Kill or be killed. Eat or be eaten. Do not show your back. Do not let down your guard, or you will be prey. And those eyes make...
Where's the fourth wolf?
That's a really good question. We cut back to Juliet sitting alone by a fire.
Juliet's going to grab a hefty stick out of the fire and brandish it in front of her.
The wolf lunges at you as it basically impales itself on the stick. You, did... shockingly well with that, I have to say.
Did you just watch me?
Are you sure you don't want to go back?
There's a reason for me to be doing this time. The next morning, you all wake up, still looking across this similar view of short, kind of scrubby plants leading off into a, at this point, kind of foggy, frosted over tundra in front of you. You know that there is a trial awaiting you and that, you know, your vague directions are to continue north. There is not a lot beyond that to go on other than walking into the unknown. How much food do all of you have left right now?
Did we use any of it?
Yeah, it's like we haven't specifically said.
You would have all used 2 pounds for the last day.
Even though Maul had killed the bird and we ate that.
Yeah, maybe call it 1.5 then.
You know, just to be pedantic, it wasn't Maul who killed the bird.
And it also wasn't her that cooked the bird. That was all Estelle.
Okay, I meant that she was dragging it along. It is because she dragged it along that we kept it.
Well, in that case, Fred still has just over 8 days worth.
I have a little over 12.
I have 4.
I have just over 4 for me and Guffy.
Okay.
I packed extra food for people who had less. Like my builder beetles, I just stacked them.
Oh, yeah,
food.
That's right.
So you look at your food rations, you know, you look at the trip ahead of you, and you start heading off. What I would like is one person to make me some kind of navigation rule of picking your way through this.
I think we've usually had Juliet do that because she's really good at it.
I think so. That is a 6.
Okay, so this goes very well for you. Making your way through this low brush, for Juliet, you can kind of detect patterns in the way that these plants grow. They grow in kind of like thickets and groves that have thinner and more sparse areas. So you pretty quickly realize sometimes to go north-ish, you need to navigate around and through these thickets. So it's kind of a circuitous route. It takes a long time, but you're not getting that torn up by the plant matter. The further north you go, however, the colder it gets. And it now is like below freezing all the time. You're walking through occasional snowstorms. The visibility is pretty low and pretty limited. And it's grim going as you make your way through this this kind of like blasted, windswept, brushy tundra. You know, every time you slip, it's into sharp bushes that will very quickly draw blood and tear clothes. So even with very expert navigation, it's still not a fun time, and you don't really feel like you're getting anywhere, right? It's a hopeless drudge for an entire day through what mostly feels like the same stuff for a long time. As you kind of wind down the day, it's, you know, as pleasant as making a camp can be. There's really nothing, but, you know, it's very the same, right? So there's really no good place to make a camp. It's just a lot of the same as you, you know, collect firewood that is tacky with, you know, sap and very powerfully scented like pine. It's the kind of thing where you pick up a piece of wood and it sticks to your hand. It makes smoky, crackling, popping fires that throw embers everywhere. It doesn't burn very hot or very long, so you have to have a lot of wood to keep the fire going. And this is sort of the way that we find our party, huddled around a spitting, popping fire in the middle of a miserable, blasted tundra. Looking out over, you know, it quickly turning to darkness as a moon sets. And way off to your east, you see another fire light.
Well, it looks like Fred might be right about other people.
All I can think is this is a real Sea of Thieves situation.
Right. I mean, maybe we could try and talk with them and see if they're friendly.
Do you honestly believe that's the case?
Also, we'd have to leave a fire to get over there, and honestly, I don't know if I... It's cold, okay? I don't know if I want to move just yet.
Also, how are we handling this when they're not friendly? Or how do we go in there? Do we go in with our weapons?
I think we make weapons and stay here.
Maul, do you have whetstone with you?
Maul looks at you and throws you like a small round stone. It doesn't look like the normal big block, but it just looks like a very smooth stone that you can see has like wear marks from where she's drug it along a knife blade. It'll do in a pinch.
Autumn starts sharpening her spear and her machete.
So you guys are just waiting and seeing what happens?
I think taking precautions.
Okay.
Is there maybe something we could do to make our campsite more defensible?
You can do whatever you want.
Are we just like in an open field?
Basically, yeah.
That was in character.
Oh, sorry.
So there's nothing, like no rocks, like big rock boulders or trees or anything that we can back up against?
The only trees are less than waist height and very like dense and brushy. It's more like bushes, less like trees. There's, you know, you could try to find a rock formation if you want, but it's not a mountain. It would be like, this is a pretty flat, low area with not a lot of geography going on it.
Autumn will go, like, a little away from our campsite and hack down some trees and then make a perimeter of them around our stuff. and then put like kindling under them so that they'll light up fast for like a perimeter if we need it.
Okay.
All right.
Make me a roll.
Can I help with that? I don't know if you need...
I'll say yes, but we'll just have Autumn make the roll.
Okay.
I don't know what I would add to this.
Moxie.
I don't know what I'm rolling with.
Whatever crafting thing you have.
First aid?
Nope.
Lore ruins.
Also, nope. You can say nothing.
If you give me athletics, that's all I think that makes sense.
I don't think athletics works. Just make a flat roll.
Minus one.
So this takes you a long time because what you described is a lot of work to make a ring of dead lightable trees and then kindling under them that you could easily touch off. So this doesn't necessarily go bad. It's just, you know, you've got like 3 yards done of a ring around the campfire, around the camp. When you hear a voice shout out, "Hi, I come in peace. I am sure wandering up to your campsite is dangerous. Please don't shoot me right away."
Shoot? Or I said that louder, but like it would be more like muttered too.
I know, I'm sure you guys are there. I can't see you. I get not talking, but there's nothing out here. So, you know, let's talk maybe. Okay. I'll start. My name is Lance. Hi, Lance. Our name is...
What do you want, Lance?
Okay, well, I don't precisely know. It's dangerous out here, so maybe assistance? You know, if we're going to get attacked by something, I'm an able-bodied-ish person, so I could, like, help that, or I have... tools and equipment that I'm sure would be beneficial, things like this.
Did you come out here alone?
Well, it's not like I chose to, but yeah, I am alone.
What are you doing in the wilderness, Lance?
You hear a sigh. Can I, like, approach the fire with my hands up and all that stuff?
Autumn motions for, like, Maul to, like, step back into the shadows.
Oh, interesting.
She does, and doesn't say anything.
Yeah, I guess, Lance, there's 5 of us here. Just so you know, I'm gonna hold on to my...
I just want
to
clarify, you're lying then, Maul, is... You're leaving Maul out intentionally.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. Roll deception of some sort.
Oh, I have none of that.
That's fine.
Can I say distracting?
Nope.
I'm going to use a fate point to re-roll that. Jeez, that is worse. No, it's the same. -2.
Okay, yeah, sure. No, that's fine. I get it. You know, like I said, you know, worst case scenario... you know, you guys decide you don't like the cut of my jib or whatever, and I'll back right up and go right back to my fire or go as far away as you want. Totally fine. And so do all of you kind of like crowd around the fire and make yourselves visible, like the 5 of you?
Yeah.
Yes.
So as you do that, see a man walk in. He's fairly pale. He's wearing a hat over his head of like a thin fleecy material. He's wearing a sort of goofy looking jacket. It's very puffy and made of a sort of, you can almost see it reflecting in the firelight a little bit. He's wearing gloves over his hands and just kind of like crunches into the fire. He's wearing, you know, like ski goggles kind of over his, that he has like pulled up, but you know, he's like got some goggles on as he crunches through the frosty ground and the brush, like, batting away vines up to the fire and goes, you know, I surrender.
So are you from the fire over there?
Yep, that's my fire over there.
And how do we know you're actually alone and not just a distraction?
I guess you don't, but no one else is immediately rushing towards you.
Can I make a perception check to see if anyone's, if I notice anything around?
Yeah. Or anyone else can make these types of checks as well if you want to, like, try to detect if anyone else is sneaking up on you.
Quick question. And crucially, does he look like us?
No, he doesn't. No.
Okay.
I got a -1. I am rolling terrible now.
Okay. Anyone else wanting to make any sensing rolls here?
Can I do danger sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, Juliet, if you want to notice, now's a great time to use that.
+2.
+6.
For notice?
Yeah.
So, this plays out really fast. What happens next? Estelle, you have, like, a sense for when something's about to jump you, right? And you get that, like, split second, I'm about to be jumped, and you turn around and see Maul popping out of a bush, throwing a knife. Meanwhile, simultaneously, Juliet, you rolled real well. So what I'm going to say here is you have like one instant to do something as you see this guy absolutely going for something at his back. Like he's talking 1 second, there's a rustle, and then he's going for something at his back. And you have like 1 second to try to do something about that if you want.
Okay. Do we have a fire yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think she's going to like take a stick and like shove burning embers in his face, basically. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Make a roll and then we'll see how well that goes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's kind of like golfing it, essentially.
I think you're probably going to have to do like kicking it, you know, like you're just basically kicking the fire in his face.
Okay. Yeah. I'll say athletics.
That's fine. Yeah.
That's a 4.
Okay. So, yeah, you basically kick fire up at him as you see him going for something, and the knife soars across the fire, fire flies up in his face, he throws one hand up, and there's, like, a brief shimmer as the knife bounces off something on his arm, and then he pulls out something small and, you know, like, some kind of small pistol-looking thing. And you hear, like, a sizzling sound as a bolt of, like, blue goo goes flying off, like, up into the sky. And then you just see Maul basically vault over you and tackle the guy as the knife flies back into her hand and she starts trying to stab him real hard.
Is the other person that attacked? Was there another person that attacked?
No. No, this was Maul tried to kill this guy. This guy tried to kill Maul and now she's trying to stab him in the face.
I grabbed the weapon. Does he still have the weapon? Did he drop it when he got
this? Oh yeah, definitely. No, he does not drop it. He's actively trying to like point it at Maul, who is trying to stab him in the eyeball.
I grab his arm and like wrench it away from him.
With the one holding the gun?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anyone else doing anything about this?
There we go, finally. 6.
Okay, so you managed to pin the hand down that has the little like, you know, blaster for lack of a more interesting term.
Can I, now that we don't have somebody, like, in the background watching out for us, can I notice that? Like, can I replace that, essentially?
Sure.
Just, like, do another notice check?
Yep.
Okay, so real quick, while she's rolling that, so Autumn got the weapon away.
Mm-hmm.
Maul is just, like, on top of him stabbing him?
Trying to, yeah.
It's like wrestling, but, like, you know, like locked in combat, you know.
Gotcha. Juliet is getting up to look around the rest of the perimeter. I think Estelle would probably... I'm not the right person for this. But she'd probably... If like, Autumn was able to, like, push the arm away to, like, get to the weapon, she probably goes to hold down that arm to, like, pin him
okay.
more.
So, as this happens, you guys are wrestling him. This is now 3 people on 1, and you see, like, him slip and the knife, like, sink slowly into his shoulder as he yells out and goes, "Do you guys know who she is? She killed people. She's going to kill me and you're just going to stand there for what?
Are you talking about Maul? She's kind of with us.
Why? Why would she be with you? And she like wrenches the knife back up and swings it down again and he catches it. This time it's just like sinking towards his heart.
Maul, is there a reason we're killing him?
He cut my arm off. He needs to die.
What? You have two arms.
One of them's not original. He cut my arm off. He needs to die. I don't see what's confusing about this.
Wait, you say this man cut your arm off?
Yeah, I sure am. The guy on the ground is kicking and is like, I had to! I had to! It wasn't a choice. It was a requirement. I had to cut her arm off.
I think I'm going to need more than that.
So I think, like, Julieta has been doing a perimeter, but, like, this whole conversation has caught her attention. And I think she, like, comes over and starts yelling at him about, like, ethics and science. It's like, what did you think you were doing? Were there any safeguards? No, I didn't think so.
Does Julia just clock him in the head?
No, I don't think so. But I think she like had a pretty visceral reaction on learning this the first time and is like, you should not be practicing medicine anymore.
He looks at you and again, you can see confusion on his face and he just goes, 75% of the population of my town died. That's...
So Estelle, once she realizes that this is like a fight between the two of them, she's been pinning his arm down. She holds his arm down with one hand. She's like pushing back on Maul's shoulder. It's like, okay, can we get, stop fighting between the two of you. Can we talk this out.
Maul is just like, nope, we're not talking this out. We're stabbing him now. This is stabbing time. She's still just like leaning.
You have another, if that is not your arm, I can't tell.
It's kind of irrelevant. He tortured me. I'm stabbing him. What are you talking about?
Okay, but can we...
I think Juliet, like, puts her hand on her shoulder and is like, hey, let's pause.
Roll a convince check of some sort.
I have genuine.
That works, actually.
Or reasonable.
That's a zero.
She looks at you and goes, I appreciate what you're trying to say. I understand how this looks. I got to listen to screams and feel unbelievable agony for weeks because this guy decided I was worth experimenting on to try to stop what was going on in his town. So now I'm going to pin him to the ground out here.
And that was awful, and it shouldn't have happened.
Uh-huh. It's going to happen again.
But we're not going to we're not going to repeat it.
No, I'm not going to torture him, but he's going to keep hurting people. That's what he does. Fred and... Well, actually, yeah, I'm going to say Fred. You haven't talked about anything yet. Fred, what are you doing through all this?
Just eating the duck.
Dinner and a show.
I mean, Fred did talk a little bit, but he hasn't really done anything.
Yeah, you're kind of like deciding whether you're witnessing a murder right now or whether you're not witnessing a murder right now.
Gosh. I think Fred would try to stop Maul. Not like... violently, but he's going to try to pull her off.
Okay, make me some kind of athletics check.
Oh.
Meanwhile, in the back, Guffy's just barking.
Mitchell's trying to calm down Guffy.
Now, would this be more physique or fighting?
I could take either.
Then I'll do fighting because it is better.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Wow, that is a 5.
Okay. So you manage to pull Maul up and there's like this really unpleasant moment when it's like you pull him up. This guy's hand is free, right? Because he's got one hand pinned. Maul pulls off of him. He has one hand free and he starts going for something else in his waistband. And then you see like Mitchell jump in and throw a cuff on him and basically like cuff him.
He brought handcuffs.
Of course he did. Maul, meanwhile, is, like, flailing silently as she's trying to, like, get purchase on you as you're holding her back. The guy who's, like, or Lance, no, did I say Lance? I said Lance, right?
Yeah.
Lance, like, is cuffed and kind of, like, rolls up to sitting and winces at, like, the stab in his shoulder. He goes, look, I'm sorry, it wasn't about you guys. I have no ill will towards you. I just have ill will towards her because she's really trying to kill me.
Why did you come over here in the first place? Why do you care about her?
Well, I didn't know that she was with you.
Why do I care? I don't. Well, I kind of do, but she threw a knife at me.
Okay, but before that, you guys clearly have some history.
Yeah, I cut her arm off. She doesn't like me.
Okay, what is this about torturing?
I didn't torture her, and as you say that, Mal just really calmly goes, I would describe what he did as, you know, you can call any torture scientific experimentation if the question is, when I stab someone, how much do they scream? Doesn't, just because you write it down doesn't make it observation. And he just kind of like sighs and hangs his head and goes, that's not what we were doing. We were trying to find out ways to stop whatever infection was causing my settlement to die.
Why are you here now?
Did you give her a choice?
Were they actually dying?
That's a lot of questions. One at a time.
Did you give her a choice?
Did I give her a choice? No. And I don't feel bad about it particularly.
Fred, let her go.
Wait. Were they actually dying?
He kind of rolls his eyes and goes, is there much of a distinction between being dead and being a... I don't know. We were not able to determine exactly what material they were turning into, but they were rooting themselves to the ground and turning into, like, fixed sort of stone-ish statues, staring up at the sky, chanting stuff. So, yeah, I would say that constitutes death. We have figured out no way to reverse it.
While he's doing this, can I grab the thing that he was reaching for from his pocket?
Oh, yeah, you can.
Like, I want to, like, pat him down to make sure there's no other weapons that he's going to pull on us and shoot us with.
You find a lot of things. You don't know which ones are weapons and which ones are not weapons, but some of them are definitely knives, and some of them, you know, have triggers and other ends. So, you know, you could, like, make some assumptions that probably some of those are weapons.
Triggers and other ends.
Might be a grappling gun, or, like, a flare gun. Or a shooting gun.
Is that going to be your gun shop, Cody? Triggers and other ends.
It's a pretty good one, actually, yeah.
So, why are you here now? Is it because of the tree statue people of your town?
So, I have exhausted other options, but following the vague, half-mad ramblings of people that crawled out of the woods and said I must go on pilgrimage to save my town. I don't know what that means, but hey, here I am, trying my best, and apparently getting stabbed for it.
What did you do to the tree people? Are they still alive? Did you burn them up in scientific experiments?
Like, I never burnt anyone up because that isn't a scientific... Burning someone up is not a scientific experiment. Did we see...
Cauterization?
Well, we did try cauterization. It was also not effective of slowing the spread of this, and it only got worse, and then we started losing track of what infection vectors there were, because it wasn't as simple as just, I got scratched, therefore I'm infected. That was how it started. And so what Maul's talking about, by the way, there is that she was quarantined and given treatment for something that was definitely infectious. So you can decide if that constitutes torture, but that's what actually happened.
You locked her in a room and cut off her arm. I think that counts.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something. If you found someone who had like a gangrenous limb and they were unconscious and racked with fever, would you probably cut off the arm and treat their infection without asking them permission?
Maul, were you unconscious when they did this?
No, she wasn't unconscious when I did this. But she was also probably not in her right state of mind, considering she said she was a space alien who was on the run from magic cops. So what do you want me to do? This was standard treatment at the time. It was the only thing we knew that was effective. I did what I had to do, and now she wants to murder me.
You know, I see why. I see why. You took away her arm.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Let me ask you something. How many people that you care about are currently dead?
Well, the people I care about are here or a tree, so...
Oh, cool. Is it all of them? Is it everyone you've ever met or ever had any love or compassion for? Maybe all at once? Because if it's not, I really don't care if you don't like me. That's the world I'm coming from. I'm glad yours is nicer.
What is your quest now? What are they chanting?
I'm supposed to find a wolf. I don't know what that means. I went north because I got a vague message to go north. None of this makes sense, but it's all I've got left, so I'm going north.
Well, good news. That's what we were told too, and you're in the right place.
Whoa. So can I, like, have the cuffs off? Is that, like, an option for me to have the cuffs off and leave, I guess? I don't think you want me to stick around.
No, I'm pretty sure I like keeping my limbs attached.
You don't seem infected with anything. Why would I cut your limbs off?
Estelle starts unconsciously rubbing her bandage again.
I don't trust you to decide that I'm not in my right mind and make medical treatment decisions for me.
I guess technically with you, I don't care. You know, you're not coming towards my town. If you ever show up at my settlement and start deciding to live there or something, yeah, I'm going to start making some choices for you.
Okay, here's a question then. Did you give her the option to leave, to go somewhere else? I mean, I know that's not a great option, but did you give her any option?
No, that's not an option. No, that's not an option at all. We are not in the habit of giving dangerous people options to maintain being dangerous. No.
So why should we give you an option and not just kill you? You're dangerous. You have these weird gizmos. You tried to kill someone.
I didn't try to kill you.
You tried to kill someone I trust.
You trust Maul.
More than you.
Why?
She saved my life.
I'm trying to save your life from her. She's a violent murderer.
You know? Maybe that's what I need in the wilderness, is someone who can kill things, not someone who pontificates that they're ethically sound in cutting someone's arm off against their will because they deemed them mad and that they weren't in the right state of mind.
I think ethically sound is maybe where we disagree. I didn't say I was ethically sound. I said I did what was necessary. I think, you know, around the time that I realized that this was going to be like an apocalyptic event that would end all life that I knew of, probably I stopped caring about ethics. But, you know, fine. I guess, you know, it can be an ethical violation for you. I'm sorry. Can I go back to my fire, or are you just going to let her murder me and then continue telling me about ethical violations? Well, I'm handcuffed.
Autumn just punches him.
Cool, so I guess torture's fine with you too. I would really love for you to explain to me how this is different than torture.
Oh, man. I'm not pretending like I'm doing something sound. And it's funny to me where you said we tried everything except listening to the vague visions, but cutting people's arms off, that's fine. Taking away people's choices, that's fine. I'm happy that you're cool with that, but I'm not.
Okay, so here's my question, right? Are you going to let Maul murder me, or can I go? Or do I just have to, like, sit here and wait for you guys to work out in your heads what the right way to handle me is?
Are you going north to find the wolf to help your settlement?
Yeah, well, I guess, yes. I say very dubiously, but yes.
Estelle, like, looks back at the rest of them. Look, unless he actively tries to kill us...
He's going to.
He deserves a chance, like... He deserves a chance like the rest of us do to try to fix what happened.
You know what's going to happen, Estelle. He's going to come back and he's going to try to kill Maul because you know what the quest is. You become predator or you become prey. And if we let him walk off with his weapons, he's going to come back and he's going to kill us.
How do we even know we're at the part of the trial yet? Did wolves talk to you?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I heard something in my head. Well, a large wolf was around. Yes. I guess I'm hoping that that is not evidence enough to just murder someone, but maybe it is.
Maul, do you know which of these are weapons?
Maul is, like, no longer kicking against Fred 100% and just goes, basically all of them, yes, basically all of them. I wouldn't give any of those back if you don't want him to, you know, fillet us in the night.
We can't let him go defenseless, which is the least lethal to us. Which is the most like a knife.
There is just, I don't want to be like, I understand what you're doing here. I just feel bad to be like, there is a knife in there. Let's just say there's a knife in there if you want to give him a knife.
Okay.
You don't have to have Maul tell you which one's a knife. There is a knife. You know what I will say? You like hold it up and go like, is this knife a knife? And she's like, yeah, that one doesn't do any like kooky sci-fi stuff. Yeah, that one's fine.
Okay. I give it like the rest of it. Like, I'm like, you're not getting these back. You have your little shield thingy. Here's a knife. You better get running because I don't know how long we can hold Maul back.
Do you uncuff him?
Yes.
I assume Mitchell wants his cuffs back.
So, yeah, Mitchell takes his cuffs off and he doesn't run. He picks up the knife and then he backs up real slowly until he is well out of eyesight, like out of the ring of fire and off into the night. There's like, you know, maybe a 15-minute pause and then his fire goes out. Yeah, I'll say Maul at this point is no longer struggling. Fred, you just kind of like let her go.
Yeah, Fred will let her go.
All right, let's move everybody. I don't want to stay here when he knows where we're at.
Oh, that's
so we're okay. Trekking at nighttime.
Let's leave the fire up and head half a mile away from here.
I think that's fair.
All right.
Like, we can leave it burning. Someone can stay here for, like, you know, like, while we pack up, we can stoke it a little bit. But we don't need to hike far, but we need to not be here where he knows where we're at.
That's fair.
And maybe we'll think about doubling up the watch tonight.
Maul sheaths her knife and just kind of, like, sighs looking off towards him and goes, yeah, that's smart, I think.
Are you gonna be okay?
She looks over in that direction again and goes, I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this. I'm probably morally, in like a high-speaking way, no better than that guy. He's not wrong 100%. He didn't lie to you once. Everything he said was totally true. But that doesn't mean he didn't enjoy what he was doing, and he didn't find it fascinating. I think maybe the only thing that was a lie is that anyone that he loved had died. I'm not sure that's what he does. She looks at you and goes, there's a type of person that survives the type of stuff that happens out here. They're not always good people. Sometimes they're real monsters. And she just kind of like shoulders her bag and walks off into the night, you know, as you guys make your way away from the fire. All right. Is there any other scenes, stuff like that, that people want to have tonight?
No.
So waking up is miserable, right? It's very cold. I would say at this point, it's like, you probably didn't have another fire, I would assume, right? Like, this is, you're all sleeping in a pile, just trying to stay warm.
I was going
to
say, how snuggly are we?
Yeah, pretty, but not in any kind of fun way. It's like a shivering pile as you're all like,
I still have it probably doesn't do much, but I still have the flashlight that Fred made for me. That gives off some amount of heat.
Yeah, so you could all be kind of like laying on top of that. Guffy's like a big slobbery blanket on top of all of you.
He's probably thrilled to be in like a cold environment.
Yeah, Guffy seems fine. The rest of you are very cold with the lack of fire. That little lantern does actually do quite a lot to help. You know, you wake up the next day again, marking off a day of food, and look out over an area that's much the same. Nothing much has changed. That is to say, like, the scenery has not changed much as you look way across all of this, like, you know, nothingness. And I need another navigation check.
Okay. 4.
Okie doke. Estelle, make me a danger sense roll.
Plus 5.
Dadgum. Okay. So, as you start your journey north, to the west, you can start seeing kind of an area where those trees end. There's like a coastline, as you can see, a frozen lake to your kind of north and west.
The farther you go as well, the terrain starts to change a little bit. It becomes more broken and, like, shingly, I think is what it's called. It becomes more like a step. So there are now, like, there's still plant life, but less of it. As it gets denser and denser with just snow and cold, the ground becomes hard and these plants become more and more sparse. But as you go, you start picking up on tracks a little bit. You can see runs in the snow where, you know, you can see wolf prints that have left their impressions on the crisp snow. You know, you can see where it's been broken through a little bit as something clearly heavy has made its way through here. The advantage that you have right now is that your visibility is fantastic. You know, it's a bright, sunny day. The area around you is, you know, you're starting to get like that snowblind stuff, right? As it's like hard to see because of how bright it is on this now entirely snow-covered and flat area with just these occasional outcroppings of rock and the like around you. The trail that you see left by these wolves kind of tends to lead you not straight north now, but northwest towards that body of water. And as you're walking, you can start to see kind of like this rough pile of stones on the bank of the lake, right? But this is way far out. It sits just high enough that it becomes distinguishable on the, like, on the coast of this frozen lake. Around midday, you start feeling like you hear this sort of eerie singing coming with the wind. This sort of musical and almost vocal sound coming towards you. And the closer you get to this pile of rocks, you like look over and you can start to feel like from the direction of that music, you can see like a figure walking along, like what would be perpendicular, like they're going to intersect your path, right? And that continues throughout the day. You know, this is a long, slow thing, and you can just see this person sort of walking as like all the way at the edge of your eyesight towards you, slowly getting closer and closer and closer. Do you want to do anything about that now or just wait and see what happens?
Is that what my danger sense notices?
That is what your danger sense notices, okay. Yeah.
And it's from the opposite direction that Lance was to us, right?
Kind of. This would not be in the same direction that Lance had been.
Okay.
I'm getting a little bit of a bad feeling about what's up ahead. So I think...
Well, I guess we're on the right track, since that seems to be everything.
Right. I think we might want to, you know, be on our guard here.
I agree.
The closer you get, so like, you know, past midday, this person now becomes fairly visible walking towards you. You can see distinct steps. Seems to be kind of a large person way off in the distance. The singing's getting louder and louder and louder as you can now kind of hear distinct words of a, like, nonsensical tune. Like, it's a song about, like, cups of ale and great hunts. It's a song about, you know, wenches and never sleeping alone. It's just like this nonsensical yammering as this guy gets closer and closer to you. Eventually you can see that the person is dressed all in furs. You can see several like belts and straps and bags hanging from them as they kind of totter towards you. And once you can like make out arms, you can see them like sort of waving at you all the way across the tundra.
Autumn waves back.
As soon as you wave back, the person puts their arm down and kind of starts, like, jogging towards you, seemingly jollily. You can see big snowshoes attached to their feet as they start approaching. Anyone doing anything?
Do you hate this person too, Maul? Should we be...
Do you mean that...
I was just going to ask if you recognize what planet they're from?
No, I mean, that looks like an upright bear sprinting towards us. I have no idea what that is. At least I don't think. I'll tell you what. If I'm going to stab him, I'll give you a heads up, and this time don't stop me from stabbing him. Just let it happen. He won't regret it. You don't have to feel guilt about it. It's totally fine to allow a murder to happen right next to you. No ethical problems with that. So you guys do it. Are you walking towards, trying to run away, anything like that, or just letting this play out?
No, I'm just letting it play out. Like, she's not, like, flat-footed, but she's also not, like, sitting there, like, hoisting her spear at this person as they come up.
Sure. So they stop, you know, kind of shouting distance away. You know, you'd have to raise your voice a little bit to be heard. You hear a voice come from a big face covered in mostly beard and long bushy hair underneath of, you know, like I said, all fur clothes covered in what you can see now are several axes hanging from a belt. There's a bow at their back, what looks like maybe a short sword stuck in a sheath, and they have several like small skulls and like antlers and you know, bones hanging from this belt that they have going across their chest, and they shout, "Hello out there! It is good to see all of you friends!
Hello back to you!
I feel that we're on the same quest, off to kill wolves!"
"We are."
"Well, you don't look like wolves to me. May we walk for a spell?"
"Come on over."
As you say that, he tramps towards you guys again, big snowshoes, leaving very little marks in the snow despite his size. It's difficult to get a solid reading on how big he is because just all of him is covered in layers of furs. When he gets close to you, you know, you'd expect like, oh, that was his shouting voice, right? And once he's right up next to you, he goes, "Oh, now who might all of you be?"
"My name's Autumn."
And he, like, looks at the rest of you. "Are all of you Autumn?"
"I'm Juliet."
"Estelle."
"And you are?"
"My name is Hector, and who is this handsome creature?"
"Well, that one's Mitchell, and that one's Fred."
"And they're curious, which one of us you think is handsome?"
And he points down at Guffy.
"Of course."
"I meant the dog, but nice to meet you, Fred and Mitchell."
"Yeah, nice to meet you too."
"But who is the dog?"
"His name's Guffy."
He gets in his pack and gets out like a big sheet of jerky and gives it to Guffy and like rubs his face. "Oh, where I come from, dogs are the most noble and reliable hunting companions someone might have. You are quite fortunate."
"Oh, I know."
"So, what brings you out here, Hector, other than killing wolves? Because this seems a far way from home for everyone."
He looks at you and it's like, has to look down as he's this big looming thing over you and goes, "Oh, home, not something I've had in some time. I make my life eating what I hunt and hunting what I eat." And he chuckles to himself in this big booming laugh. "I have been wandering as far as I can for as long as I can. All of this blasted wasteland is my home. Anywhere that I choose to hunt is my home."
"So you don't have people that you know that have been turning into sort of arboreal statues?"
"What does arboreal mean?"
Tree-like. Like trees?"
"Oh. People have accused me of being arboreal before because I can stay completely motionless for days."
"I see."
"But no one that I know has turned into a statue, but I regularly have conversations with an odd little old leaf lady, and, you know, she talked to me for a while, told me that I might change and become part of the forest. And that sounded quite appealing, so here I am, ready to try my steel against, I guess, the wolfiest wolf."
"Have you met the wolfiest wolf?"
"I have had the privilege of dining with the wolfiest wolf, and he was a stupendous creature who I cannot wait to stab."
"Well, I think we're headed the same way if you want to team up for a little bit."
Of course, none of you seem to have trophies worth collecting, except maybe the handsome dog, but I am aware that that's inappropriate. Do not worry. But if your dog ever wishes to wrestle me in one-on-one combat, I would be very interested.
Well, that would be up to him.
So, you continue on with this big hunter next to you. Basically, the whole time you're going, he talks very loud the entire time and spends most of his time play fighting with Guffy. Him and Guffy are just, like, snarling and rolling on the ground and throwing each other, getting pounced on. And it, like, all seems in good fun. He's not actually trying to hurt Guffy. It's just, like, as soon as you're like, yeah, if you want to try to wrestle Guffy, that's up to him. He was immediately, like, does the, like, dog squat and just started wrestling with Guffy as you guys went. It's having the loudest person ever with you as you tumble through the tumble through this last little bit towards this pile of rocks.
So I'm here.
Zach is here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so as you approach that pile of rocks and it grows into more detail, it is mostly just these big stones leading out like right on the edge of this frozen lake. When you get closer, the smell changes and you again hear that humming in your ears, like insects crawling around, rattling, buzzing, like being inside of a hive. And you can almost feel that under your skin, that rattling, buzzing noise. When you get closer to that pile of stones, you see that it's stained red and there's a massive skull on the top, like a wolf's head with massive antlers coming out of it. And right over where that skull is, almost like it's pouring out of its mouth and out of its eyes, out of its ears, there's a pool of blood overflowing down the rock and staining the snow around this lake blood red. It smells like copper. There's that loud buzzing noise. And all around you, you can feel snarling wolves and howling. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.